Let us hear God's word. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, you know all things because all things are yours. But Heavenly Father, we are so limited. So we ask that you would show us and teach us your word to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I recently watched a documentary on TV about the Civil War. And they began to show pictures of the battlefield, and there were just dead bodies everywhere. And the statistics say that over 600,000 people died during the Civil War. It is a tragedy. It saddens us. But in the third chapter of Genesis, we find the saddest and most tragic chapter of all human history. It is the beginning chapter of the story of the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, and every war from the beginning of time to now. It is the beginning chapter of the story of the Black Plague, of cancer, of AIDS. Modern soap operas, with all their lying and deceit and greed and murder and adultery, all of their plots come from Genesis chapter 3. In a close look at this part of Scripture shows us what was at stake. And that is the Word of God. Satan raises this issue by insinuating that God's Word is not trustworthy. I remember when I was young, I'd go fishing with my grandfather, and this was in the phosphate pits down in Florida, and I'd always bring me a loaf of bread, and I would wad it up into a ball and throw it in the water, and I would do that several times, and the fish then began to come to where I was throwing the bait, and then finally I would take a piece of bread and put it on a hook and throw it into where the fish were swarming. And I had my dinner. This is what Satan does to us. He baits the hook. And he hides it. Because what he's going to do is that he wants to capture you. And he will do this by insinuating that God's word is not true. You see, to better succeed in his hellish design, Satan addresses himself not first to Adam, but to the woman. He's really after Adam because Adam is the one who is going to represent all of humanity. But he knows, Satan knows, and he understands that if he is to get Adam, he must first get Eve. You know, sometimes close relationships prove strong temptations. Your husband may lead you into sin. Your wife may lead you into sin. Your children may lead you into sin. The story of Ahab in the Old Testament says this, that there was never a man like Ahab who sold himself completely to do evil. And then it adds this, and he was urged on by his wife Jezebel. So Satan is going to bring to Eve a question about God's word. And what he does is he first twists the commands of God to make them appear unreasonable and harsh. Because he says, did God really say? Did God really say? Satan twists scripture to trick Eve into believing that she can't be happy if she has any restrictions placed upon her. There is just no way that she can be happy. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. You let your child do something 50 times in a row, and then on the 51st time, they say, can I do this? And you say, well, it's just not convenient today. No, you can't go. You know what their response is? You never let me do anything. That's how our children respond. That's probably how we responded. And so Satan places that upon Eve, that unless you do everything you want to do, you will not be happy. This is the subtle hint that the serpent is communicating to Eve. In all of these things, he is seeking to deceive Eve into thinking that Satan cares more about Eve than God does. His purpose is to present Satan as good and loving, and God as being harsh and evil. And Satan knows that the initial attack on God's word comes with subtleties. And so he must lead his victim to doubt the trustworthiness of God's word. But hooray for Eve. She responds correctly. Satan says, did God really say? And Eve goes, no, God didn't say that. God says that we can have all of this garden, but not this one tree. But now the subtleties are discarded. Satan is through playing games. Remember the story of the Phantom of the Opera? He takes the mask off when he gets really mad and angry. Satan is taking the mask off right now because Eve is standing on God's word. And he says, did God really say that you would die? See, this was Satan's masterpiece, to weaken her faith. For when he had shaken her faith and brought her to the point of distrusting God's intentions for her, that's when she bites the hook. Satan is first a liar, and then he's a murderer. And one thing we are to learn from this is that whenever someone contradicts God's word, there you find evil. There you find Satan at work. We are not made, we are not created to live with contradiction in our life. We are made to live with certainty. Some people even say that the contradiction is the essence of true faith. But if the contradiction is the essence of true faith, how do we distinguish then between righteousness and unrighteousness, between good and evil, between Christ and Antichrist? Instead, the Bible's perspective says the contradiction is the essence of evil. But standing on the Word of God is the right thing to do. Now, if you don't remember anything about this sermon, remember this one thing. Remember what Francis Schaeffer had to say. He says, "We are made for certainty. Our souls cry out for order, structure, and security. Our lives are nothing but a quest for the surety of who we are. What is our purpose? Our lives crave certainty because God made us that way. We were created to know God and to enjoy God and find our significance and purpose in Jesus Christ." We like to have peace in our life. But you will not find peace if you're ever contradicting the Word of God. Understand, sin is never idle. And it always seeks to involve other people. And this is exactly what we see happening here with Adam and Eve. Here's something interesting. I have a hard time believing, when we read the scriptures, I have a hard time believing that Adam simply took the fruit and began to eat. Actually, the Hebrew punctuation in this passage gives us a clue. In the English, we just read, Eve gave it to Adam and Adam began to eat it. But in the Hebrew punctuation, it reads this way. Eve gave the fruit to Adam, and Adam sat down and thought about it. Paul, writing to Timothy, says that Eve was deceived. She was tricked. But he says, Adam wasn't. Adam took time to sit down and think about what was happening. Just think about this. Just a few minutes after eating the fruit, and Adam seeing Eve there, what do you think was going through his mind? He's probably coming from one section of the garden. He sees Eve. He says, "Hey, Eve, come over here. Come over here for a minute. Let me show you something." So she comes up, and he's looking at her. Like, "Eve, what's wrong? Something's wrong here. Where did that gray hair come from? You didn't have it a little while ago. Why do you have wrinkles on your face? What's happening, Eve?" And then Adam sees the fruit in her hand. See, she had already begun to die. She had already begun to die. Her appearance is not as pure as it was just a few moments before. And Adam looks at her, and then he sees the fruit, and he begins to think. He begins to think. Do I trust God's word? But I'm so scared of being alone, and now my bride, my true love, my only love in all of the world, she's beginning to change. She's beginning to die. What do I do? He comes to understand that at that moment, she's in a different kingdom than what he is. And he is faced with the prospect of total loneliness. You know, we can be lonely, but then we can get up and go to the neighbors or call somebody on the phone or go do this or go do that. Adam didn't have anybody to turn to. And just as you get scared of certain situations, our hero Adam, he is deathly afraid of what is happening. Well, we know Adam's response. He took the fruit and he ate it. There was a contradiction to the word of God, and he ignored it. He rebelled against God. He did not believe in the goodness of God. He did not trust in God's provision for him. He did not trust God's word. You know, there's not a day that goes by that we are not reminded by Satan. Did God really say? Did God really say that you can't do that? Did God really say you can't think that? Did God really say you can't go there? Did God really say that he would never leave you nor forsake you? Did God really say that all things are going to work to your good if you love the Lord? Did God really say that? See, we're faced with that daily, are we not? We are faced with the decision to believe God's word or to ignore it and rush headfirst into sin. We face fears. We face uncertainties. We worry about our children. We worry about our homes. We worry about our job. And sometimes we ignore what God has to say. Have you ever been in that place where you were just confused about everything? Somebody had hurt you. Somebody betrayed you. And you were just at your lowest. You're confused. You don't know what to do. Satan, like the old Grinch, stole Christmas. When you get to that place of uncertainty, Satan is smiling because he knows he's gotten you to question God's love for you. We have this promise that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You have a promise from God that in all things He's going to work for your good, to your blessing. Do you believe that? The Scriptures say that Jesus Christ has died for our sins. Do you believe that? Satan does not want you to believe it. Instead, he whispers to you, did God really say that you can't trust Him? If you say that God has forgotten you, then you make God out to be a liar. If you call into question the goodness of God and His purpose for you, then you're no better than the Israelites who were out in the desert murmuring, "Let's go back to Egypt. At least there we got some vegetables to eat." Faith, trusting in God's word, in His character, to do everything that He has promised to do, is where you need to be. Trusting God's word. In an old Dr. Seuss story, there is Horton, the elephant. And the story goes that Horton, he's the hero, and Daisy, the bird, Daisy flies off because she needs a little break, you know. She needs a little break. So she asks Horton, "Can you sit on this nest and this egg just for a few minutes? I need to stretch my wings here. Come on, Horton, be a good guy." So Horton, the elephant, climbs up in this tree and sits on the nest with one egg in it. And Daisy, she's off to Myrtle Beach. And so people come by and say, "Oh, Horton, come on down. You look so silly up there." And Horton keeps repeating, "I meant what I said. I said what I meant. An elephant is faithful 100%. Now, Christian, let me tell you, God meant what He said. And He said what He meant. And He will be faithful to you 100%. You trust God's word. And when you find yourself in that situation where you're beginning to wonder about God's provision for you, get up and run away. Get on your knees. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God for strength to repent. Because God has already told you that He would never leave you nor forsake you, and that you can trust Him 100%. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word to us. Oh, Heavenly Father, so many times we question Your goodness and question Your wisdom. Oh, Father God, have mercy upon us and forgive us and give us grace that we may believe Your word in each and every situation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's close our worship as we stand and sing hymn number 705. Hymn number 705, "I Know Whom I Have Believed."